The Gospel can be found on page 1017 of the Pew Bibles and page 1797 of the large print Bibles. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark, chapter 12, verses 13 to 17. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin and he asked them, "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And they were amazed at him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. As we stand, let's pray that God might speak to us this morning. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has so made us that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word of yours, cause us to find in it the way to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It would help you, I think, if you keep your Bibles open at Mark chapter 12, page 1017. In our reading from Mark's Gospel, we have surely one of the most memorable one-liners that ever brought an argument to an end. "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." There are two disparate powers which combine people together. One is love, and the other is hate. Of course, love is what Jesus said we are commanded to do, to live in our lives with love. Nevertheless, hatred, though ultimately destructive and fragmenting, can serve as a devilish cement among otherwise diverse people. Such was the case the Pharisees and the Herodians. There could hardly be two groups with such opposing outlook. The Pharisees were nationalistic, whereas the Herodians had sold themselves out to Rome and served as their stooge. The Pharisees represented narrow conservative Judaism, and the Herodians were liberal and syncretistic in their convictions. The Pharisees were right-wingers. The Herodians were left-wingers. The Pharisees represented resistance to Rome. The Herodians represented accommodation with Rome. And the issue was taxes. The word in the original text here is literally poll tax. That's what it was. It was a poll tax which was coming up. Do you remember riots in the 1980s, poll tax riots? I remember walking down Oxford Street that afternoon because I worked just at a church nearby, and there's a broken windows in John Lewis. I saw earlier on that day cars turned over at Oxford Circus as people rioted. And yes, poll taxes can be very difficult. We don't like them. But here was this poll tax which they were discussing with Jesus. They were cemented, these Pharisees and Herodians, by their mutual hatred for Jesus. The Pharisees hated Jesus because he was disrupting their religious agenda. The Herodians because he threatened their rather convenient political arrangement. Both groups wanted Jesus dead. And then a great idea came to them. They would ask a question which, no matter how Jesus answered, would put Jesus in mortal trouble with either the Jews or the Romans. Verse 13. They came to catch him in his own words. They said, "Teacher, we know that you're a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay it or shouldn't we?" But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." Imagine they asked this question to catch Jesus out, and they've actually got the coin in their own possession. They had one themselves, which is pretty telling as to what was going on. Their flattery contained a modicum of truth. Yes, Jesus was not and is not influenced by man. As always, he answered with truth. If he answered it was right to pay taxes to Caesar, people would brand him a collaborator, a traitor, and abandon him in disgust. If he answered no taxes should be paid to Caesar, the Romans would see him as an insurrectionist. Jesus was aware of their hypocrisy and treachery. He's always aware as to what's going on in our hearts and minds. He knew what was going on in their lives. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? Why are you trying to trap me? And Jesus asked a denarius, says, "Let me look at it." And what does he reply? He says there, "Whose inscription is this?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And they were amazed at him. Ancient coins were understood to be the property of a person whose picture or inscription was on it. And Jesus' answer means that they were amazed at him. They were left speechless, literally they were left gobsmacked. They didn't know what to do, having had that answer. "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." Two things to make you think about today. We're told here to give the government our taxes. Our reading from Romans. "This is also why you pay taxes. The authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour." The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority installed among men, king or governors." Taxes make the machinery of state work. And Christians are not anarchists or revolutionaries or terrorists. We should give our taxes as we are asked to. The laws we have in our land are made for our benefit and protection. When it comes to God and the government, it's not a binary either-or, because overarching all of that is God. Now, you look at the book of Revelation, and there you have a different view of a state, because the state can be demonic. But actually, as far as we can, we are to submit to the authorities until it goes against what God says. Overarching all of that, that government state is God. I wonder, how about the Crown Prosecution Service? How about speed cameras? How about traffic wardens? About income tax? Tax deadlines? Do you take those seriously in your discipleship? It's a wonderful thing. We pay income tax, and what does it give us? A brilliant health service. I know it's stretched, but still, what's provided in our country is wonderful. Schools for all to attend. We should be praying for the government. As Paul puts it in 1 Timothy, I urge then first of all that requests, intercession, thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. We may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. Obligations to Caesar do not, however, infringe on the rights of God. They're ordained by God, but God is the one who's ultimately in control. He's the one to whom the whole of life belongs. Do look later on at home, perhaps at Mark chapter 12, the parable of the tenants. The person who owns that vineyard is the Lord. He owns all of it. And people are not to come in and usurp what God has as his. Give the government your taxes. Do you find that hard? It's a command in the New Testament. Until it goes against the command of God. Second, give God your life. Are we giving to God the things that are God's? Jesus has stated God's claim to total ownership of us all. The coin was Caesar's because it bore his image, and we are God's because we bear his image. Will, can you stand up, please? Can you just stand up? Just look around the congregation. It's not because he's sleeping, but when you look at Will, what do you see there? And in fact, do sit down, Will. We could all look at any of us here. And when you look at someone, adult or child, we should say, actually, there's someone who's made in God's image. The coin was Caesar's because it bore his image. And we are God's because we bear his image. Genesis chapter 1. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. We are God's coinage, bearing his image. And what belongs to God must be paid back to him. Because we are from God's mint, and we're literally his. Therefore, we have a greater loyalty to God. Are we giving to God what is his? We're not to separate the secular and the spiritual. We'd love to do that, wouldn't we? But actually, all things ultimately belong to God. And we're to acknowledge God's ownership of our lives, our money, our houses, our possessions, our time. Do we see our lives in that context? What is God's is everything we are, and therefore we cannot pay him back with just a part. Amen.